NFL analyst, www.MikeDetillier on Twitter. Very active. He's not just up there. He'll hit you back. At Mike Detillier on Twitter and MikeDetillier.com. He joins us now. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Mike, first of all, got your take last week, but want to jump in again. The loss of Haole Kekaha, when you think about this team, and you and I were talking earlier, when you go back and look at the number and the emphasis that has been put on creating turnovers, Mike, when I look across the board, the interceptions, you want them to be picked up, but the interceptions haven't been that bad. It's the forced fumbles and the fumble recoveries that have been bad, and you're talking about a guy that created four of them last year.
Yeah, and Deke, the thing about it is you didn't do anything in the offseason to upgrade that defensive end position. You didn't pick no draft choice was a defensive end. No veteran free agent was a defensive end. So, man, you know, that's a real difficult shot to take because you had a lot on the back of Kekaha. And, you know, I've said this before and doing other shows and TV and radio and what we did last week, that the big jump defensively, and while I think all of us would agree, and having watched Rankins and Von Bell, those two guys are ready for prime time now. They're ready to play. The biggest upgrade that this defense could have taken is going to be the development of the guys you picked last year. And Stephon Anthony, Kekaha, P.J. Williams, who I thought really today, he made an interception as the rains came down, not before the monsoon, but as the rains came down, he made a great pickoff. And just watching him, how fluid he was in the motions, I was impressed with P.J. today. Damian Swan, if he can come back from the concussion issues, you have Tyler Davidson, another guy that certainly can contribute. That would have been the meat, so to speak, of getting your defense better. Deke, where do you go now? Do you stay in-house and say, well, I think, you know, once Kasim can get better, that he can maybe fill that role? Obum Gwacham's an interesting player. Now, practices the way we see him now, it's difficult to watch and see how well, you know, he's going to be able to handle the run. The one thing I do know about him is, one, he's a long, lean athlete who is fast. Now, how well he can use his hands to get off a block is going to be the big question mark, what it is on every defensive lineman. How well he can quickly get off. The one guy who I saw today, just leverage, technique, hands-wise, I was impressed with Davis Tull. So you got those three guys. As soon as that injury happened, my first phone call would have been to Dwight Freeney to see, you know what, what's your interest? What's the cost? And are you interested to come play for us? Are you going to be a guy that's going to kind of wait it out and try to hook yourself up with a Super Bowl type team? So, you know, there aren't a lot of options at this stage. And so Kekaha's loss for 2016 is measurable. It's a big loss for this team who had put a lot in the fact that he could come through for them. And he did, as you say, he was a playmaker in forcing fumbles and also, too, not only getting sacks but getting pressure, because sometimes that's kind of an overlooked situation when you look at the NFL, you causing a quarterback to throw the football maybe a little bit quicker than he wants to. For this team that's really razor thin at defensive end, major loss.
Mike, looking now, the six-year deal that Jarris Byrd signed 2 years ago, going into year three, 2016, and reading up on some of the numbers, Mike, $6 million of the $7.4 million base, he's already picked up on because that was due by the third waiver, which was back in February in 16. So looking now at the number, Mike, is there any way, and I said this, you know, you got 16, 17, 18, and 19 left on the contract. 20 will become a UFA and unrestricted free agent. But is there any way, Mike, I would say start have to be a Pro Bowl caliber player for the Saints to consider this a return on their investment?
Absolutely. I mean, he's got to play as a big-time player this year. But, Deke, here's the thing. You've spent all this money on Jarris Byrd, and what did you do in round two? You came back into round two and traded up to get Von Bell, who's playing the exact same position. What that's telling me is this is the last season for Jarris Byrd in New Orleans. However the money hit's going to be, this is it. You're looking at the end of the trail here. He's going to play 2016 here. But if you were that confident in Von Bell, and Jarvis Byrd, why did you move up in round two to get Von Bell? Because you had no confidence that, one, he can stay healthy. And, you know, listen, health issues happen. But for Jarvis, he's had a ton of them here. And secondly, he's really had no impact on this football team. And I'll tell you what, one young man that has certainly catches your eye, and he's a tall drink of water, who played some linebacker in the CFL, who's playing that free safety position, is Eric Harris, who they brought in. Mm-hmm. And I'm just telling you, you can sort of see the writing on the wall here that no matter how the numbers add up, Jarvis Byrd has got to play like he did in Buffalo for any chance for him to stay on this team in 2017. He's going to be here this year, but for next year, he's got to really be a big-time football player to convince, I think, this staff, which is going to be here next year, and Sean Payton, to keep him.
MikeDetillier.com, at MikeDetillier on Twitter. Mike, it's always good to, as Bobby and I were talking earlier, you know, a guy like Delvin Bro, you know, and Delvin is where he was projected to be, one of the top-tier high school players in the country.
Yep.
If he doesn't get hurt, I could see him on this path. And then we talk about Eric Harris. But when you think about it, though, Mike, it's a feel-good story. The Saints need all the help, and it looks like these guys are going to be helped. But also, don't you kind of look at that as an indication of how, I don't say desperate, but how bad the back end of the defense is, that you got two guys, one coming from the CFL and one hadn't played ball in a long time, especially at this level. And not only are they making the team, but they might be starters.
Deke, I think what it's the indication of, for all the kind of finger pointing toward dead money and cap hits and everything else, the bottom line is when you look at what has put the Saints in the spot that they're in today, kind of stuck in the neutral position of it, right in the middle of teams in the NFL, has been from 2010 to 2014, five drafts, and you end up with six players. I mean, where's the accountability there? And, you know, the way I look at it, you know, it just wasn't the director of college scouting here that messed up some of these picks. You go through 5 years and you end up with six players? That and you throw in the fact, the bounty gate, 2 second-round picks. The short-term effect on this football team was you didn't have Sean Payton in 2012. The long-term effects was you got hit with 2 second-round picks stripped from you, and then you drafted bad. So you're paying the price today for those ills. You're paying the price today for that. That's why you kind of stuck in the middle here. Because, you know, and you thin across the offensive line. You thin in the secondary. You very thin at defensive end. You have a little bit of depth and veteran depth at the linebacking position. But just think, and when the season ended December, and when you look at this team today, defensively, what has the most depth on it? Defensive tackle. Just think about it. John Jenkins, Sheldon Rankins, Tyler Davidson. They brought in David from the Manitoba. So you've got some guys here where you at least got some depth at the defensive tackle position. You look at cornerback. We all hoping Keenan Lewis can come back because, you know, he's a really good football player. Delvin Bro has got a chance to be an all-pro player. That's how good he is. The big question mark is what's behind him. You know, we've seen enough of Wilson. I think he's a decent nickelback in this defense. But, you know, with P.J., I thought he looked pretty good in the practice sessions today, and the question marks with health with Damian Swan. So, you know, you iffy there. At the safety position, once you get past Vaccaro and Byrd, you got nothing but a bunch of young kids. That's why you signed Roman Harper, to bring you in a guy that knows what he's doing, and you bring in a veteran player. So I think the ills, not necessarily – so much of the money situation, but it's the draft picks miss and miss and miss over and over and over again, and then throw into that 2 second-round picks stripped from your football team because of bounty gate. This football team is rail thin all across the board and at the key positions, offensive line, defensive line.
Mike, what is something going into a guy like Brandon Coleman? What's the deal with him? Is he the new Nick Toon, Adrian Arrington?
I think he's better than that. What he is erratic. And here you have this huge size guy who almost basketball-like, like a forward in basketball. And a lot of people say, well, he got bad hands. When you watch the plays that he drops, he's turning his eyes up the field. He's looking up the field to run before he catches the ball well. That's a concentration issue. To me, he's always kind of a tease player and a guy that, man, you just look at that size and see how well he can match up downfield with defensive backs. And yet, he'll make one great play. He'll drop an easy catch. Then he'll make maybe another play or two and then drop another easy play. It's more of a concentration issue than hands. Man, watching Mike Thomas, just watch him as a rookie. Now, again, he's still getting down the nuances of playing wide receiver at the professional level as a route runner. But watch him in practice. How well he comes out of that cut and that break and he catches the ball and it's pop right in his hands. With Coleman, he occasionally does it, but then he'll have a drop. So he's one of those ultimate tease guys, and you can see why he wasn't picked. A lot of people say, well, he wasn't picked because he had an injury. But there are a lot of guys with injuries. He didn't get picked because of his inconsistent nature as a receiver. It has nothing to do with his hands. But when you watch him on film, watch the drops, he's always peering up the field. So he's not catching the ball clean. Man, when you watch the kid from Ohio State, when you watch Thomas catch the football, he's catching it clean. And I'm telling you, that's a big difference when you see those two big receivers out on the field. You know what impressed me today and the little I got to see? Because we were right there where Jared Dangerfield from Western Kentucky. Now, Deke, we saw Western Kentucky and what they can do throwing the football downfield. And they were an impressive team with Brandon throwing the ball. They lose that top running back in the first game of the season, and they just threw the football all over the field. I was impressed with Jared as a route runner and his ability to get some separation downfield. He's more of a developmental guy, but he catches the ball clean. I like that as a receiver. He's a JUCO guy, came in, caught over 100 passes in 2 years at Western Kentucky. I think he's a guy down the road, similar to R.J. Harris, that in year two, you might have yourself something there.
Mike Dettillier, NFL analyst, college football expert. Mike, now, just a look ahead. This draft that we just came out of was deep in defensive line, and we talked about the depth of it. Looking ahead now, just projections, and I know it's hard because you got that January 15th date when people can say they're going to forego or either come back, but what are we looking like it's going to be the prime position or positions in 2017?
Well, I think early on, Deke, it's certainly going to be wide receiver. Again, it's a pretty good group of receivers in this year's draft. I think right off the top, the quarterbacks, it's deeper at the running back position than it was a year ago. I like the defensive ends where there's a little bit more depth there than there was in 2016. Not as much defensive tackle. It can't be. I mean, it just can't be. I mean, that was a ton of guys at that defensive tackle position, the best I've done in my 30 years doing this. So much talent, so much depth there at that defensive tackle position. The linebacking core, just kind of depending what you look at, there's never enough pass rushers. But what you're seeing now is a little bit of element of the spread where you're seeing guys that can match up downfield pretty well. And there are never enough cornerbacks and pass rushers. And the safety position is better in 2017 than it was in 2016.
Mike Dettillier, at Mike Dettillier on Twitter and MikeDettillier.com. Mike, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Deke.